You're listening to the Frank Fontana Show on WGN Radio, the crossroad of life and style.
Yeah, apparently waking you guys up with that nice loud entry. Welcome to the show, folks. I'm Frank Fontana. We're every Sunday from 1 to 3. Last week, we had the pleasure of having Kathy Hart join us. That was fun, huh, Ashley? It's good times with Kathy.
She was so fun.
You're so loud. I think it's your mic that's
really. Is it me?
Loud. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, no.
Let me see if I can lower you over here. Yeah, she was. Oh, you're way up. That's why. Yeah, she was a lot of fun. We filled in for John Williams on Wednesday. A lot of people writing in and texting saying they really enjoyed us together, which is great. She'll be back next week. She's up in Arizona with her daughter at some dance school.
I'm seeing all the pics on the Instagram.
Yeah, it looks nice up there.
Oh, yeah. Warm.
Warm. Sun. Cactuses, palm trees. Oh, gosh. Anyway, it is Halloween season. And we talked about Halloween last week on the show, the movie Halloween. And I'm so excited because it killed it at the box office. I don't know if you've seen this. 77.5 million was the launch for the weekend. And it makes Jamie Lee Curtis the first woman over 55 in a leading role to make those kind of numbers on an opening weekend. Good for her. You know, I always liked her.
My dad's not a big movie guy, and yesterday he was saying, like, I really want to go see that movie. And
I
was
like, do, yeah. Too. I do. I like all things Halloween. I mean, it's a little too scary for my kids, obviously. They're 4 and 7. But, you know, we like to do Halloween right at our house. So we decorate to the nines. Lots of people in our neighborhood do. But I wonder, is there ever a time where it's too much? Like, I have this one guy, like, across the street from me. He literally curtains off his entire front porch with black fabric. And makes a mini haunted house that takes kids through and stuff. And it's really scary. Like, there's been many years where the kids didn't want to do it. And they finally got them through last week. And last year. And they love it now. So they'll go through it. But there's some, you know, decor to me that might be pushing the envelope. I was sifting through Instagram and looking at some recent Halloween, you know, stories and decoration. And I came across this one on apartment therapy. Because, you know, I'm a design geek. And it's these skull logs. Have you guys ever seen these? They're actual, like, carved wood in the shape of a skull. And they got an image. You can go over to my Facebook page, by the way, at Fontana Creative, or Frank Fontana Creative. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Or go to Apartment Therapy on Instagram. And they have this, like, fire pit, which looks vaguely like mine, with these burning skulls. And I wonder, is that taking it just a little bit too far? Do you know people who take Halloween decoration a little too far? I'd love to hear from you guys. 312-981-7200. Give us a text. If you got some of those people on your block, which is, it's beyond scaring the crap out of your kids, I'd love to see pictures. I'd love to see what this looks like. As well as your pet costumes. We do this every year. We talk about pet costumes, and then we blow up our text lines with people sending in these amazing photos of their pets and how they dress. And sometimes they match with the owners. Which I kind of like, but it doesn't have to. Send your photos in. We'll give your dog a shout-out or your cat a shout-out or your lizard. We have a lizard. We have one giant lizard and some fish, which, you know, my son has yet to say whether he's going to decorate and dress up the lizard. What do you think, Ashley? Should we go for it?
He should do it. I don't think I've ever seen... Oh, no, actually,
I've seen... He's a bearded dragon, and he's really massive. I mean, I would say he's about a foot long by maybe 3.5 inches wide.
What would you dress him up as? Like a lion, maybe? Because if it's a bearded dragon, they kind of have that mane.
Yeah, you know, he's scary looking. He may not need a costume, actually. We'll just put him on a leash and have my son walk with him.
There you go.
Hey, coming up on the show today, we got a really fun lineup. After 2 o'clock, we're going to be talking to Joe Immobley, Chicago's very own. Was it The Bachelorette he was on, right?
The Bachelorette for one day, and then
famous. The one day that made him famous instantly. He's a good-looking guy. He's from, Melrose area?
Melrose, yep.
And he owned a bit of a grocery store, and they tagged his grocery store Joe, became his nickname. And it became like Insta famous. He got an Instagram account, and what is it, like 500,000 people follow him now?
Oh, yeah.
And he's not a good dancer. He's a self-admitted not good dancer, but he's still going episode after episode on Dancing with the Stars because I think he's charming and he's real. Everyone says how real he is. We're going to interview him and Jenna Johnson, his partner from Dancing with the Stars, later on in the show. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on Halloween-wise around Chicago, some fun events you can go with the family and maybe not with the family, especially when we're talking about Statesville Prison up there, that haunted exhibit that's I won't go to.
I've been there.
I'm a chicken. I will not go in there.
It was scary.
Really?
It was, and but I'm easily spooked. But then again, it was really scary.
Was that from there?
No, that was at Naper Settlement. They had like a short little, I don't even know what you call it, like a Halloween walk in a way.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out what's hot and not on the Halloween scene around Chicagoland. And then I'm really excited for our guest coming up after this break. Her name is Elena Cardone. You might know her husband, Grant Cardone. You probably know of her by now, a former actress model who met the guy that was kind of his dream, her dream guy. At first, it didn't sound like it, but then she quickly realized what a powerhouse her husband is. And together, they have built an empire in the world of real estate, online sales. They've taken social media and monetize it in a way that very few couples have. Elena Cardone is going to be with us as soon as we get back from this break.
This is the Frank Fontana Show on WGN Radio. It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
Well, welcome back to the show, folks. You know, in the era of the badass lady bosses that exist out there, there's one, in my opinion, mom, wife, mother, now we can add author to that list, who's not only an entrepreneur, but she's a motivator to millions, and I believe is leading the pack. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Miss Elena Cardone.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad you're having me on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's great to talk to you. You know, I follow you on social media, you and your husband, Grant, huge fans of what you do and how you've built this empire so appropriately for your book, Build an Empire, which we'll get to in a second. Lots of people listening, some folks reaching out on social media, want to like learn about who you are, how you made that climb, that legacy story. And I've read a bunch of stuff, you know, leading up to the show, some articles and interviews you've done, where you say that Grant necessarily wasn't your stereotypical guy you thought you'd end up with.
Oh no. No, indeed. No. No. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and I was an actress. So that's who I hung out with. I hung out with actors, and then I was a pirate radio Harley girl, which was, you know, we rode Harleys around town. So I knew a lot of, you know, rock stars and actors. And so then comes along, I meet Grant on a commercial shoot. He's friends with the director, and he just seemed kind of like, kind of an arrogant, businessman, you know, who kind of dressed in golf kind of attire, just like did not register on my radar at all.
Interesting. So, you know, for those who don't know Grant Cardone, why don't you give the folks listening a little background on Cardone Capital and your empire that you guys have?
Well, today my husband runs five businesses, and I totally support all of those endeavors and efforts to make that a success. We finally opened up a fund for accredited investors at Cardone Capital, and what we do is we own approximately 5,000 apartment units that produce income every single month, and then, you know, it gets distributed every month to our investors. In the next week, we're going to open another fund to non-accredited partners, investors, and I think that's going to even be bigger than the accredited fund. And the same thing, they'll get their monthly checks, and it's turned out to be an extremely successful, easy endeavor that we did. So we'll go to, we're at 5,000 now, we'll go to 10,000 probably in the next 6 months. Wow. And we're looking to build a multi-billion dollar real estate portfolio from that one thing. Then he runs a sales training, an online sales training program from anyone from the mom and pop business down the street to Sprint, Google. I mean, the heavies of the heavies use it in their companies. And then he's been a five-time New York Times best-selling author. Like, he really is an author. I mean, he can write a book in 3 hours. I've seen it
Amazing.
Done.
Yes,
and it took me a year of like wanting to slip my wrist, but I finally completed the book after a year.
I know how that goes. Yeah, it took me the same amount of time to write my book, and it was laborious at the same time. But I've read Grant's books and the Millionaire Booklet, all that stuff. Great stuff. And I love the you know, candid nature in which he delivers his message. And seeing you guys online and in social media, the transparency that you allow for people to view a slice of your life. You know, you hear a lot of stuff. We're all, you know, Insta fake and everything's fake. And I just don't get that from you guys. I mean, especially you. I mean, you, to me, are the epitome of the ultimate entrepreneur's wife. You're a badass in the sense that not only mentally you're there, but physically you're the way you train and, like, the military stuff you do. Like, we got to get into a little bit of that. Are you preparing for the next zombie apocalypse that we don't know about?
I'm a total super freak. I don't know why. Oh, well, I mean, my father was a world champion shotgun shooter. So I grew up shooting guns and kind of a tomboy. Then at around like fourth grade, you know, or third grade, when the boys and girls became equal in physical strength and I could no longer dominate them, I ditched the tomboy thing and said, okay, I'm just going to be a girl from now on. And then I went really the girl route. And only recently did I get back into the guns and now the martial arts, which I never knew before. I wish I would have discovered that 20 years ago because, oh my God, I love it. It's like, it's awesome.
I've seen your kicks and I'd be a little bit afraid.
I love it. Thank you. Well, I've never been in a fight in my life and nor do I want to, but you know, and anyone who knows me knows I'm fiercely protective of my family. So all I'm training for, other than it's fun and I love it and it's a great outlet, is I went in there and asked the sensei there. I said, I just need you to give me a chance. When I walked in there, I knew I had zero chance. There was no awareness of how to fight, how to throw a punch, how to kick, how to use an elbow, a headbutt. I mean, these were not on my list of arsenals, you know, like something I could go to. So I said, look, just give me a chance. I just need to stand a chance. So that's what I'm working for.
That's awesome. And you guys have, you know, what seems to be, and I can't imagine every second's perfect. I mean, that wouldn't be realistic. But to live with such a driven guy like Grant, and I consider myself an entrepreneur in many ways and not easy to be with because I'm always thinking and doing and preparing for the next thing and, you know, and out there speaking. So how do you navigate that 24/7 relationship with such a driven entrepreneur? Did you have to become him in a way to be able to survive?
No, I didn't have to become him, but I did have to become tough. So I'm not as sensitive anymore. I understand what I'm dealing with now, that he is a beast and that he can't go out there and be on the battlefield and slaughtering in deals and come home and know how to turn that off. So I understand that. And sometimes I navigate around that where I just disappear. Sometimes I just have to get food in front of them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just have to, you know, like I'm smart now. And when stuff comes at me, I've practiced discipline either with the martial arts or the training or the this and the that. Being the wife and not wanting to spout back, you know, because that gets us nowhere. And I'm good at it too. I have aggression too. So if he comes at me, the tendency is to want to fight back. But practicing discipline and keeping my mouth shut when it's not ultimately going to lead us, like there's no reason for it, because we've gotten to the point where he's not my enemy. And I know that. So if I need to just, like, you know, dodge a few darts that are being thrown at me, I'm okay with that because I need him to be the beast. I cannot be the beast. I don't know how to do that.
I love that you say that, because to me that's such, I don't want to say old school, but there's something old school about that. That's my king going to conquer the next land, and I'm here, and it's evident in your book, and I don't know if I'm right on by this comment, but, you know, you truly approach this as, you know, an empress and an emperor, and your book cover, it represents that.
Thank you. Yes, I 1,000,000% look at my life as an empire and the king and the queen. And I don't think Grant does so much. Like, he appreciates where I come from, but I have to get myself in that frame of mind in order to rise to the occasion, because wearing the crown comes with sacrifices. And that's one of the sacrifices. Yep. It's not going to, when he walks in the door, it's not always going to be, hey, baby, let's hold hands and watch TV and right. chill out. It, like that might happen, like never, actually. I can't even think about it, you know? but that's not his job to do that. It's my job. If I want the romance in the relationship, like, that's my job to make that happen. And he just has to deal with it and go along with it. That's you know awesome. What I mean?
We're talking to Elena Cardone. Elena, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to do it. Can you, if you can hang, we're going to do a little bit of news, and then we're going to pick up and talk about the book, Build an Empire, How to Have It All. And then I'd love for you to dish out some, you know, relationship secrets to our listeners. You know,
million percent.
All right, cool. All right, hang out. We'll be right back.
The Frank Fontana Show. People, places, and hot topics that make Chicago on WGN Radio.
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here on WGN Radio 720. We're here every Sunday from 1 to 3. I'm joined right now by my guest, very special guest, Elena Cardone. She is an author, a motivator, an entrepreneur, and a mom in between all this. Her new book is Build an Empire, How to Have It All. Elena, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Hey, Elena, let's talk about the book. What was the biggest motivation for writing this book? And I got to ask you, why choose that name?
Well, the biggest motivation for writing this book was so many people that are just like me. You know, I consider myself just this regular, ordinary, normal girl from New Orleans, grew up in a middle class family. Our family lived paycheck to paycheck, and now a lot of people could look at where I am now and say, you know, how did you do that? Because now we fly private. I appear from the outside, and I do have a very incredible life and lifestyle. So people say, how do you do that? How do you and Grant, how do I get my partner on the same page? So many different questions that I finally realized that people don't think how I think. I thought everyone kind of thought like this, and then I realized people don't think like this. And so I really wrote the book as anyone who wants to try to get out or live up to their full potential but feel stuck. Maybe these will be the tools that you need to kind of get you thinking bigger. So if you were like me, I was tired of thinking small. I was tired of criticizing. I was tired of, you know, harping, nagging. And I finally changed my mindset. I adjusted a few things in my life, and all of a sudden Grant and I are shooting to the top. So yeah. I believe that anyone can have this as long as they have the right tools and change their thinking.
And you got, you know, you guys have a blueprint for how you live your life. And I'm assuming that part of this blueprint is in the book, or you're sharing some of the secrets, because I know you can't share all of them, but you're sharing.
No, I tried to share them all. I have nothing to hide. I'm not one of those, like, if I discover a recipe, I'm not taking it with me to my grave. I mean, I want to leave everyone enjoying it. Why should it just be me?
I
want everyone around me successful. So we can all, like, have a good life at the top together. The thing is the more successful I've become, and this is going to sound horrible, but I have met several multi-billionaires, and I expected them to kind of be my mentor, or I not idolized, but looked up to them, like, oh, what can I learn from them? And they've been just horrendous disappointments.
Wow.
And so, you know, when I make it to the top, I want to just be like with my people who were there with me, because those are the people that are my people. Those other people that I thought were my people really aren't. So
wow,
that's kind of
my
logic on that. That's why we invented we came up with Cardone Capital. It's really, I want all the little guys, you know, me included, you know, all of us to be at the top, looking at the billionaires across the row from us that never thought we could do it, and, you know, give a middle finger to them with a big smile,
of course,
no hostility,
flip
you know what I mean?
Smile,
I want to be like, bam,
yeah.
How you like me now?
So let's simplify this. So if I am if I have, let's say, an extra $5,000, and I don't know what to do with that money, but it's disposable income, you guys have a program that could potentially, what, double, triple, quadruple that investment?
Yeah, I mean, it's all under the Cardone Capital. If you go to CardoneCapital.com, it lays out everything. But yeah, we buy investments that cash flow from day one, and then we always have the exit strategy in mind. That's really where we count on the bank, where somebody like a Blackstone or somebody, you know, a big, ginormous REIT that just wants to place cash. Mm-hmm. And they're, so we buy really nice assets that those types of people want to come in and they're willing to pay for it. And they do, and they have. And so that's what we do. So the big payday is on the exit. But in the meantime, we cash flow and, you know, do monthly distributions in the meantime.
And one of my favorite bits that Grant does on his social media is when he signs the checks, the real checks for people. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, because most people, for most people, it's painful to write a check to somebody. Grant takes joy in it.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, we're all in this together. You're helping us and we're helping you. And it's like, that was the goal. Like, we're all going to the top together. We want to destroy and do things that have never been done. Raising money on social media, not paying a cent out to somebody that raises it for you. I mean, it's never been done before. Like, when this non-accredited fund opens, we expect it to close in 5 days, raising $50 million. I mean, wow. This is going to be like a punch in the face to Wall Street, and I can't wait to do it.
Good for you. And you know what? You guys have figured out the magic sauce to monetize social media. You've created TV networks, podcasts. Do you guys have your own studio in your house, or do you do that? You shoot that stuff in an offsite facility?
We have a studio in our offices. We own the building here, so we just created our own studio.
And how did you guys? Did you just decide one day we're going to go all in, transparent, be on camera? Because it looks like you're basically filming your entire life, one shape or another. How is that to constantly maintain that? Because it's like feeding the beast. Once you start, you can't stop.
Yeah, well, we decided, you know, what most people do, they might film their or let you in, but once they get to a certain point, they close the curtain. And I understand that because we're open and susceptible to attacks and to lawsuits and to all kinds of crap, you know?
Right.
And so most people, and especially the people who have something to hide ethically, you know, or morally, want to close the curtains. And look, Grant and I are not perfect. We say it over and over and over. We are figuring this thing out as we go. But the one commitment we made to everybody, and the reason is because, like I said, we want to do this and disrupt the system. So we want to let you in on what we've done so you can do it too. So it isn't just for those elite snobs at the top. Sorry, I know. I should be nicer.
No, speak your truth.
But I feel that they have a real intention to keep people misinformed, uninformed, and held down. And that's what we want to disrupt. So even though that comes with its own set of sacrifices,
sure,
as you just mentioned, we are willing to always keep the curtain open, even though there have been times I have been tempted to say, I don't need this anymore. But if I had done that, then the guy at the top would have won.
Yep.
You know, at the top, you know, the quote unquote financial top, but
sure,
who knows what their life is like, you know, behind all that money.
Of course, of course. Now you got your life, you know.
Look, how to have it all. I want to have it all. I want to have all the money, all the friends. I want to have all the happiness. I want to have it all.
Why not?
And that's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going for. And I'm going to have my cake and I want to eat it, because what's the point of having cake if I can't eat it?
That's right. So, Elena,
what's the point of having a horn if I can't toot it?
I'm
you
with
know?
You. Toot it. Hey, so when is the book going to officially be out?
Well, it's at the printer now. I'm told November 7th is the latest. But the audio version is available right now.
Awesome. Where can people find information about the book and you on all your platforms?
On all my platforms, I'm Elena Cardone, which is E-L-E-N-A. And then Cardone is C-A-R-D-O-N-E. I'm Elena Cardone on all socials, and that's my website. And if you want to get the audio, if you want to pre-order the book with the audio version available today, you just go to ElenaCardone.com/empire.
Awesome. Elena,
and that's where I just revealed all the secrets, how to get you on the same page, how to find the right one, how to operate at, you know, 100% levels and really think bigger and take yourselves and and everyone around you to the highest as you possibly can.
And folks, I encourage you to go follow Elena on Instagram at Elena Cardone. You will not be disappointed. It's entertaining. It's motivational. It's educational. Her and her husband, Grant. I've been following Grant for, God, a decade now. Learned a lot of great stuff from him and his sales tactics. I urge you, if you're in the sales business, go check out Cardone Sales Schools, all that stuff. And Elena, unfortunately, we do have to go. You are amazing. We appreciate you taking the time on a Sunday family day to spend a little bit with us.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for having me on the show. I had so much fun.
Cool. We'll have to do it again soon.
Deal.
All right. We'll talk soon, Elena. All right, guys. We are going to be right back, and then we're going to get into some cool Chicagoland Halloween haunts right after this.
The Frank Fontana Show, where life and style meet on WGN Radio.
Welcome back to the show, folks. It's just before 2 o'clock, about 10 minutes before 2. Before we head into our next news break, a couple of fun things to do around Halloween, not just for kids, for us adults, too, us big kids. Joining me on the phone is Mark Bortz. He's the founder of Jack's Pumpkin Nights Pop-Up. Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about what exactly this is?
Hi, Frank. Thanks. Jack's Pumpkin Nights is actually a day and night event that goes on throughout the month of October. It's hard to believe that the month of October is coming up to an end, but Halloween is just right around the corner. And it's basically an adult pumpkin patch. We've got lots of Instagrammable opportunities for photos. We've got a corn maze that's got a hidden bar for adults. And it's just a lot of fun, especially in the evenings.
And now I understand that you have a corn maze, too, that you can get lost in?
Yeah, we do. We wanted to do something fun and different, something the city hadn't seen. And we said, wow, there hasn't been a corn maze in the city of Chicago. So we built one. And that has been a lot of fun for us.
And is there alcohol involved? Because I can imagine alcohol and mazes kind of sometimes don't meet up well together.
Oh, I think they meet up really well. I think they're a lot of fun. I think we've got a lot of people who love Halloween, people who love to get dressed up in costumes,
sure.
People who love to experience something different that you don't usually get to see in the city of Chicago. Because if you live here in the city, getting out to the suburbs sometimes can be a real pain, and the traffic is just not the best anymore. So
I agree.
And that's kind of how we came about that. We don't like driving. We live in the city. We wanted to do something for our friends, something that we've always wanted to do. Who doesn't love getting dressed up for Halloween? And so we took over 2 acres just over here on Goose Island and built a huge kind of adult pumpkin festival.
And you're the creator of this. So did you sit around one night having a couple beers and saying, hey, we need to do something. And I know this piece of land and I got some cool ideas on how to theme this out. How did you conceive this whole thing?
Well, Frank, I grew up kind of in the industry. You know, my dad owned in the 70s places like Sally Stage and Dr. Jazz, and people who are from Chicago might know some of those names. So always growing up in those crazy ideas, and then eventually kind of got into the nightclub business, became a serial entrepreneur, and we've always wanted to do something around Halloween, but it's such a short period of time. We said, is there a way we could extend this? So we kind of came up with this idea of a fall festival a few years ago. We kind of worked at it. We were lucky enough to get the opportunity to do it this year, and we're really thankful we did. It's been a lot of fun. People are having a great time. We're open. Actually, we'll be open just past Halloween this year. Halloween this year is October 31st, which is a Wednesday, and we'll be open through that Sunday.
Hey, now I know we keep saying adult, but are the kids invited too?
We do. We've been a little bit overwhelmed with the success and the demand for it, so we started opening during the days on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm here right now, and the place is packed, and the family's having lots of fun. The kids get to run around, and whether it's the pumpkin bounty house or running through the corn maze, and the adults get to, you know, maybe sit by the bar and have a drink or take some great pictures, family pictures with the kids.
Awesome. And tell us where we can find more information online and get tickets.
Well, you can go to www.welovepumpkins.com. And you can find us there. Also, you can find us on Facebook at Jack's Pumpkin Nights. And those are predominantly the two best places to find all of our information. We'll be open 7 days a week starting after this Tuesday through the Halloween period of time. We've got all kinds of Halloween costume contests and lots of fun things, so be sure to check out the website or the Facebook page.
You know, it's funny, Mark, I love how you launched off by saying it's an adult-themed event, but it's good for Instagramming. That's the society we live in today. That us adults.
It is. It's kind of funny to watch. If people love taking pictures, they love bringing their friends out. I'm amazed at how many people are showing up in large groups, office parties. They're having. It's really amazing how many people are getting out together and creating an experience for their either their family group or their office group. It's really fun.
Well, I'm definitely going to check it out, Mark. Thanks so much for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, let's switch gears here and talk to Paul Siegel, owner of Statesville Haunted Prison. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Very well, sir. How are you this beautiful afternoon?
Good. I have a feeling we went from somewhat tame of a pop-up pumpkin patch to insanity over at Statesville. What do you got going on this year?
Well, every year we change a significant part of the house. Actually, I have two houses, both Statesville Haunted Prison and the City of the Dead. And we change them every year to freshen them up, and so about every 3 or 4 years, you probably will not see the same parts of the attraction. So this year we always poll our customers, trying to find out what they like, what they want us to change, and the clown room has always been kind of our signature room, and we keep expanding it, and we did a complete rebuild this year. We got flying clowns and you know, all kinds of different sensory things for you to experience. I know that a lot of people are definitely afraid of clowns.
Yeah,
I guess from their kids, from their childhood, I guess.
Sure, and all the clown movies and all the stuff you see on social media with clowns, you know, chasing people. I mean, it's made me. I was never afraid of clowns, but now I like them a little less, which is good for you, right? I mean, the more people are afraid of them, the better it is for you.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the things that we felt were safe when we were kids have evolved into not so safe. You know, by you know some crazy people out there or people making movies and changing the whole idea around different aspects of it. And you know, people used to like going to cornfields, and then you have you know movies about slashers in the cornfield, and so things have changed a lot since sure. We were kids and since our kids were kids, and I think clowns kind of fit into that idea that when I grew up, we had Jack in the Boxes and we had all kinds of friendly clowns, and they were something that you thought about as
admired them,
being,
right.
You know, right, and they were funny or they were entertaining, Then now I guess I'm kind of guilty of it because I'm a proprietor of a haunted house.
Right.
We've kind of seized on the opportunity to work on some people's phobias.
Sure.
Something else we have in the haunted house, we've had for a couple of years here in Statesville, in City of the Dead, are snakes, live snakes. And I was talking to a young lady. We have a lot of picture-taking opportunities when you get out of the houses. And she was in a large group, and the rest of the people in the group were explaining how she had this extreme phobia about snakes, and you can actually touch the snakes. You know, they're all very well maintained.
You've cured her of her fear of snakes, is what you're telling me?
No, we did not. She was having a panic attack because she was still afraid of them. And
the opposite.
So it was effective with her, but you know, there are some people that like to cuddle with snakes and think they're great pets, and most of us are really pretty afraid of them, or they give us the creepy crawlies.
Sure, I don't know about snuggling with snakes. I mean, I guess there is.
Well, there are some crazies out there, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a lot of. We have one of the people we have here working security works for the Port Authority, and he said that they just confiscated about 500 snakes that were shipped in from China, and they were.
Are they headed to your facility?
Mattresses. No, not at our facility. No, he's working at our facility at night and during the day. He's working at Port Authority, and they X-rayed these this cargo container of mattresses, and they saw things moving, and so they checked it out, and they now are sending 500 live snakes back to China.
Wow.
So there are people that must have fascinations with snakes that not just afraid of them, but so we're trying to build on that and trying to entertain people. The whole idea of Statesville and Sea of the Dead are not so much to make you pee your pants, but to to enjoy yourself. We want you to come out having had a good time, smiling and maybe just feeling like there was.
Yeah, and maybe bring an extra pair of pants. I mean, you may just want to bring extra pair.
We always kind of debated whether we should have a kiosk for the pens.
I think so. I think that's your next monetization strategy right there, is you have like an underwear section where people can then.
We have wearable sections for T-shirts and that kind of thing, but we haven't quite gotten to the pens. We're thinking about it, but
down the road, maybe the next 20 years, you'll evolve to that. Paul, we got to get going here, but I appreciate the call. It's 17250 Weber Road, Lockport, Illinois, is one of the locations. Are they both in the same vicinity?
Yes, they're both the same address. The $30 admission price gets you into both houses. They're the most acclaimed houses in the state. We've been open 22 years now, and continuously, and we just continue to help people be entertained.
Nobody's
allowed on the farm, but we look forward to everybody coming out again and experiencing that new clown room and see if we can break them of their phobias.
Let's do it, Paul. Appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll get some top-of-the-hour news.
And now, back to Chicago's very own Frank Fontana, Sundays from 1 to 3 on WGN Radio.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks for hanging out. If you're not watching the Bears game, it's back and forth. What's the latest score, Ashley? Do you know? Last I checked, it was like 24-21. That's close. A lot of people predicted it wouldn't be as close, but good. I'm glad that's happening. That means Hamp and OB won't be as angry. You listen to them after the show, they're insanely entertaining because they're insane, period.
It's amazing. I can't even concentrate. It's awesome.
I drive home and listen to them just because I love to hear them bitch and moan about the Bears. And even when they're doing good, they still have something to say, which is okay. So our next guest sitting in studio is a guy named Ira Antelis. Is that correct?
Oh, Antelis, yeah.
Antelis. Ira is a cool dude, a very diverse background, comes from the music industry. He wrote some of the most famous jingles out there. You might have heard a few of them, like the Be Like Mike jingle. You work with the likes of Christina Aguilera. He was a music director for a huge ad agency. He's sitting in here studio, not for that reason, but we'll talk about some of that. But he created something like most people would love to do in later life. Say, I got a great idea. I got an invention, and I want to take it to market. And you do it. This guy actually went through and followed through his dream and did it. So, Ira, why don't you tell us a little bit about what 120 Life is?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
I think 120 Life actually came out of a doctor's appointment indirectly. I had a health issue, and it was exacerbated. All of a sudden, I had high blood pressure, and the doctor's like, screw the health issue. The high blood pressure could be a real problem for the health issue.
What was the reason for your high blood pressure? Did they tell? Was it stress?
And I'm like, how can I have high blood pressure? I exercise every day almost of my life, and I eat pretty well. And they're like, it has nothing to do with it. So they're like, you have to get it down. And they actually gave me a timetable, and they gave me some medication. And I'm like, I'm not spending my life on medication. So the first thing I think most people would do is I have 3 weeks to get my blood pressure down. So I go home and start reading about everything I can eat, drink, or do, or what is high blood pressure. Because the first thing I said was, well, I know it causes strokes, but I actually don't know what it is. Like, mm-hmm. If I asked you, what is high blood pressure?
Well, it's funny you ask, because I just happened to go to the doctor the other day, and I found out that I have hypertension.
Exactly.
So I have high blood pressure, and I'm dealing with it right now, which is perfect timing that you're here.
But if they said to you, what is it, what would you say?
I would say it's a state of high blood pressure. The amount of blood your body's pumping through, at the rate it's pumping through, is too fast for what is the standard. Is that a good answer? A good enough answer?
It's better than
clinical.
It's better than my answer. But think of it this way to your audience: think of a garden hose, and let's say your blood is pumping through a garden hose, and that's normal. Now take that garden hose and cut it in half, like to a drinking straw, and try to get the same amount of blood through that at the same time, and that causes pressure on your heart. and that's high blood pressure.
So sometimes it could be equated to arteries being clogged, right?
Or arteries closing. So you need to reopen your arteries to make the blood flow through easier. But I didn't know that.
Were you scared when you were diagnosed with this?
I was actually a little scared because I was like 3 weeks to get it down, and I'm like, okay, I got to figure this out.
Why did he give you 3 weeks? That was the time to your next appointment?
Exactly. And then there was another health issue, and it was like, if you don't get this down, we're going to have to do something. So I'm like, I'm going to get it down. And I had no idea how I would. The first thing, you know, so you just read, and then maybe that's one of the advantages of the internet today.
Yes, I would agree with that. But sometimes to a fault, it could be a bad thing.
Right. But in this case, it was good, I think, for me. And what happened was, so the first thing for your audience is salt. So who knew?
Sodium or salt?
Sodium.
So the difference between the two, correct? Like, so you can consume salt, but sodium in foods.
Mostly sodium in foods is what I was led to believe. I'm still not an expert, so.
Yeah, and let's clarify. You're not a doctor. You're an inventor.
I'm a musician.
You're a musician who invented something, right?
So for instance, you go on any product. You go to the store and you buy a granola bar. And on the back of the granola bar, it says 250 grams or something of salt or sodium.
Yep.
And you have to really limit that. They say like 1,500 a day. So
yes.
I'm like the first thing. And one of my friends who's a doctor who said, when people go into a hospital and they put them on a salt-free diet, they come out with normal blood pressure. So if you could cut your salt a lot for a period of time, your blood. So the first thing I did was, wow, okay, salt.
Were you a not so healthy eater prior to this?
You know, I never looked at salt or sodium, so I would never think twice about it until I realized this is really dangerous, and everything has sodium.
Everything in a can, mostly.
That's exactly
right. Everything in the aisle outside of the fresh vegetables is pretty much got sodium in it.
Correct. Yeah. So for instance, for in the morning now I have like steel cut oatmeal. And it has no sodium. Mm-hmm. So at least I know I'm starting my day without any salt.
Yep.
And that was the first thing that I did. But then all of these articles kept popping up about things you can eat or drink that would lower your blood pressure. And being a little bit obsessive, probably 6 months after my blood pressure had lowered, you know, due to the medication and some things, I'm like, well,
wait before you reveal what you discovered, Ira, because we're almost right there. We're going to take a quick break. Sorry to leave you hanging, folks, but we're not going to reveal the big secret of Ira's invention until we take a quick break and come back. So hang on.
You're listening to the Frank Fontana Show on WGN Radio, the crossroad of life and style.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Yeah, I gotta love that David Hochberg guy. He's a fun dude. We're actually doing a little program together where Dave is going to help you get financing if you want to do that renovation project that you've been long wanting to do with me as your design guru. We're going to get together, and we have gotten together, to offer clients the opportunity to have me come out, take a look at your property, get an assessment, bring that assessment over to Dave, see what he could do to get that project financed for you. All you got to do is just drop me an email, frank@frankfontana.net. We can get that process started. Or if you, David at Pearl Mortgage, I believe it is, or David, WGN David, you can find him at, shoot him an email as well. We'd love to help you out with that project. But right now, we're talking about things that get you stressed, bring up your blood pressure. I know how that is. In studio with me is a gentleman named Ira Antelis. He created a product because he was forced to, because he had the same situation I do, which is a little bit of high blood pressure. Well, probably a little bit more than maybe. I don't know. But I did.
Mine was high.
What was your numbers?
I think it was like, you know, 170, 110.
Oh, I got your beat. I don't know if that's a good thing, but yeah. Did it sustain at that for a long period of time?
Well, you know, what was strange was I had been to the doctor probably 3-4 months before. It was normal. So, you know, 2 months later, I'm at the eye doctor, and the doctors take your blood pressure no matter what doctor.
Sure.
And it was high, and I'm like, that's really strange. It was just normal. Then I went somewhere else, and it was high. I'm like, let me go back to the doctor, and they're like, it's high, and they can't really give you a reason,
yeah.
Except that they think, or again, medication doesn't always work, this should help. And if they put you on one, if that doesn't work, they add another. And this is, and I'm like, my dad was a pharmacist. I don't want to spend my life on meds.
No, no. And so you turned to the natural way, and you did a bunch of research online, and you kind of pulled together what you thought was the super foods
exactly
that would cure this based on the research that's out there. So you started this 120 Life. What is exactly 120 Life? Mm-hmm.
So the name 120 comes from if you go to the doctor, they give you two numbers. So 120 is the normal number for systolic blood pressure. So if they say your blood pressure is 120 over 80, you're fine. So we named the product. I have a lot of people I work with in advertising that I enlisted. And so we decided we'll call it 120 Life because it really could mean the difference in your life. So that's the
120. What is it? What's in it?
So what happened was I start reading, and everything I started to read, there was like a repetition, and I would read something, and a week later, it would pop up again. And I'm like, okay, pomegranate juice lowers your blood pressure 12%. Studies.
Mm-hmm.
Hibiscus tea lowers your blood pressure, I don't know, 10%. Then I'd read the studies. Beets or beetroot powder lowers your blood pressure 7-8% instantly.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, Susan Schachter, who's now involved with us, is a nutritionist. She said, add magnesium. She looked at the... So all of a sudden, I'm thinking, if all of these things, just do the math, lower your blood pressure by just drinking them.
Each a percentage, then obviously...
What would happen if you put them together? And, right. You know, as I tell everybody, as my wife is and my kids are laughing at me, because I spend about 0% of time in the kitchen, but I'm now in the kitchen...
Did you buy a juicer?
No, what I did was I went to Whole Foods and to Mariano's, and I would buy 100% juice. And then I got hibiscus tea, and then I went to, got magnesium powder. And I just started thinking, okay, if I were going to make a drink, and again, everybody's laughing at me, because it's not like I'm in the recording studio with Mark Anthony or somebody like that.
Sure.
You're talking to a guy who's never done anything in a kitchen. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, if I were going to make a drink, what would it be? Then I'm like, 8 ounces. So then I had to start figuring out the proportions. And like I tell everybody, one of the studies I read said, if you drink 2 ounces of hibiscus tea, actually 2 ounces of pomegranate juice a day, your blood pressure will lower. So I'm like, okay, 2 ounces of my drink is going to be pomegranate juice. And then I went on from there. And then I created these.
Do you have one here to sample? I'd love to try it.
Yeah.
I might need a case from you, but
we'll get it. We'll get it.
And you could just bring that all around.
So that's exactly what happened. So I would create these big jugs proportionally, and then I started drinking it, and my blood pressure lowered. And then I started giving it to people.
Well, I'm going to crack one open. I like the packaging.
Shake it a little bit. And then...
Is it tasty?
It's pretty good. I mean, I think people like it better than me, to be honest.
It smells good. It smells potent.
The big reveal.
I like it.
It's good.
Yeah, I could drink it.
And if you knew it would keep your blood pressure at normal, you would
intravenously introduce this into my body if exactly. I knew. Well, no, seriously. So is this something that you can find on the shelves of grocery stores now? Or
so the long and short of it is everybody's telling me you can't take it to market. You don't have enough money. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm doing this. You don't know me. You know.
Another reason for your wife to hate you, right?
But now they started to believe because I would give it to people and people were like, wow, this really works. So... I decided.
You drink a whole bottle at one sitting?
Yeah, we do 8 ounces a day, one bottle. Or you could drink it 4 ounces in the morning. It seems like it works, you know.
Either way.
A bottle a day. But when you stop drinking it, we found your blood pressure goes back up.
Oh.
So that's why we call it 120 Life. You have to take it for the rest of your life.
Which is brilliant business for you because you're on it. That's right. It. For the rest of your life, you're a customer forever. I love that. So did you do clinical studies on it? I mean, if they...
So this is what you find out. You find out, wow, to do an FDA trial, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars and 5 years of your time. I'm like, I'm not doing that. So the legalities, just so everybody knows, is I can't claim that if you drink 120 Life, your blood pressure will be lower. What I can say is the six main ingredients in 120 Life, hibiscus, beetroot powder,
are known to
have studies, and I put the studies on our website showing that your blood pressure is lower after drinking this. So it's like you have to do the math. If you add this, this, and this, I can't really give you the answer. But we have found people experience very positive results. And we say, if you don't, I'll give you your money back. I don't want to. I'm not in this to
It's pretty fair.
That.
Yeah.
That's it.
So then what's your current distribution look like?
So back to your original question was, so I thought the easiest way to do this is online, because the majority of the people that have high blood pressure, there's 100 million of them, are on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to go to the grocery stores immediately. It would be a lot easier to just distribute it online, and then we'll go to Amazon. And now we're starting to talk to grocery stores.
So it's working, which is the way you do business today, is you start online,
that's right.
And then you go into the brick and mortars,
exactly.
Which you may not, with Amazon and stuff like that, you may not even need to. Are you on Amazon now?
We actually, our next production happens to be tomorrow, and then we'll be on Amazon within 2 weeks for sure.
Sweet. We're going to talk a little bit more with Ira. We're going to take a break and then grab some news, a little nuggets of update from Pam, and then we'll finish our conversation with Ira.
This is the Frank Fontana Show on WGN Radio. It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
So apropos, as we are going to be talking about life improvement, as we've been for the last couple minutes here, joining me in studio is the one and only Ira Antelis. Am I saying that right?
Antelis.
Antelis. Ira Antelis, Brooklyn boy. We just found out I'm
exactly.
Brooklyn born as well. So good to have one of my peeps in the house. Came up with a blood pressure solution that normalizes your blood pressure naturally. We talked a little bit about the product. It's 120 Life. The website, again, is
120life.com.
120life.com. You could learn all about it. Lots of people texting in. If you have a question, you want to call the show, 312-981-7200. You know, mostly what is the key ingredient in your special sauce?
So let me explain, take a minute and explain why it works, we believe it works. If you are diagnosed with high blood pressure, they give you a medication that's called a diuretic. In our drink, hibiscus is a diuretic. The second kind of medication a doctor might prescribe is an ACE inhibitor. Mm. In our drink, pomegranate juice is an ACE inhibitor. So what you're seeing in our drink, it mirrors the medications in natural form. And this is why we believe there's very positive results from it. So it's almost like you're taking a natural medical cocktail all in one in our drink.
Sure. And I mentioned earlier, like when you stop drinking, the effects, your heart rate goes back up.
Your blood pressure
goes back up.
Yeah. And again, I'm not a doctor, so I tried this, and I found that when I tried it, it worked for me. I gave it to some people, and not all of them, but most of them, saw very positive results. But then when they stopped drinking it, including my partner, Peter Levy, he realized that his blood pressure shot back up. So we realized that if you drink it and it works and then you stop, your blood pressure is going to go back up.
Well, just like medicine would do the same for most people. But the idea is while you're on, at least for me, my path in my mind is going to be, I don't want to take anything if I have to. I'd love to drink this and be healthy and my blood pressure is at a normal rate. But the intention then is to change my diet a little bit if I needed to and then increase my cardio workouts. And that should... the combination alleviate the need for medicine if I don't have genetic factors, which I do. So
right.
It's going to be an interesting couple
of
weeks.
The thing we say is don't, and I'll repeat, do not, if you want to try 120 Life, do not stop your medication.
So there's no interaction with medication that anybody can currently
take. There's no problems. But what could happen is, let's just say you try 120 Life and all of a sudden you realize your blood pressure normalized. Now you're at 120/80.
And you would know this I went out and bought a home blood pressure machine.
Right.
If I wanted to test this, if I woke up in the morning, did my blood pressure, drank one of these, how immediately after would I see a difference?
We see people in 4 or 5 days. And I'm not kidding.
Really?
Call me. So at that point, you can call your doctor and say, look, I've been drinking this, and my blood pressure normalized. And he might or might not say, well, maybe let's try cutting your medication in half or something. They might not say that. They might say, stay on your meds and drink this. So it's really up to the doctor. My doctor said, cut your medication in half.
Good.
And that's how it started.
So you're still taking some statins at the moment?
I do, because of my other health issue, yes.
Gotcha. Okay. So what's the end game for you, Ira, from Brooklyn?
You know, the end game has become to make people aware that the most important thing is you should know what your blood pressure is, because half of America has it if they're over 50. And we know that it causes heart disease. 80% of people with heart attacks have high blood pressure. We know that it causes strokes. But if you know that you have it, you can take steps against it. You can cut your salt. You might want to, you know, exercise a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think not knowing your numbers, as we say, is one of the big problems. So spreading people that
wait.
Message.
People wait. And like, you know, I know so many people wait too long.
Exactly.
And then they're in their late 50s and they have strokes or they have That's clogged right. arteries and it's, you know, it's nothing much more you can do but surgery. I'd rather not get to that point and jump on it now. And yeah.
You know, I was actually talking to Meredith, who is here with me, and about as we get older, and I'm older than you, that we have a choice. Do we want to take active steps regarding our health or do we not?
Right.
And this is one way, I believe, to take some active steps, you know, regarding your health.
I agree. Now, do you work out a lot?
Every day for the last 40 years.
Do your doctor recommend, like, low cardio? Or
Well, what the doctor will tell you is you have to monitor how high your heart rate will go. But the cardio workout, I think, has really been great for me. And I've done it for, you know, like I said, for about 40 years, almost every day,
yeah.
Which is why I was perplexed. I'm like, well, how could I have high blood pressure? And then, like, it has nothing to do with it.
Sure. My dad is super thin. He ran his whole life. He was a soccer player, worked out. And about, I don't know, I think it was like 8 years ago or more, I was living in L.A., and he came visit me. We were walking up this giant mountain called Runyon Mountain. It's like really high and mm-hmm. like hard to navigate. And no problems. Went to it. A week later, he goes home, goes in for a routine checkup. They're like, you need to go to the hospital now. We don't like your numbers or something was like that. Next thing I know, literally that night, he was under the operating table, had 6 bypass surgery, and found out that he was about an inch away from having a massive mm-hmm. heart attack.
Exactly.
And he's a relatively healthy right. guy.
Sometimes it's genetic. Sometimes, you know. So, but by knowing your numbers and getting things checked.
Yeah.
So if you know your heart rate and you get a blood pressure monitor or go to Walgreens or any pharmacy, they'll take your blood pressure. If it's high, then you might want to consider calling your doctor and checking it out.
And I find like it's more and more with younger people, too, because of the state of the world and the tension and the anxiety and the stress in society. I'm just finding more and more people around in their 40s are going now. And women have to take more note because there's a rise in cardiovascular disease in women.
Exactly.
So, I mean, this affects everybody.
No, people think, and actually, Dr. Lowell Steen, who has been, actually, he's my doctor and he's been on board with this, he was interviewed and he was saying that it's a fallacy that people in their 20s and 30s and 40s do have high blood pressure. It's not sure. only a disease for people who are over 50.
Yeah, and then, you know, the onset of this Juul, everyone's, you know, token on these vaporizer nicotine deals, which most people don't realize that could jack up your heart rate crazy.
And your blood pressure, too.
And your blood pressure.
Exactly.
And these kids are doing it like it's breathing air.
That's right.
With no idea that this is going to ultimately lead to heart issues at a very young age if you keep doing this.
The problem, I think, maybe it's not a problem, but the issue with being young, and I have a 22-year-old daughter, is invincible. They think nothing could happen. So
I still think I'm invincible, though. That I can't get rid of, unfortunately. I hope that doesn't drive me in the grave. But anyway, Ira, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
You.
Appreciate it. And for creating this amazing product. I think that's a great alternative to medicine. And folks, go check out 120 Life. The website, again, is
120life.com. And starting within 2 weeks, it'll be on Amazon.
Go check it out, folks. 120life.com. Ira, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
What do you hope to get out of Dancing with the Stars?
Help to win.
I like that.
Okay. Next question. I think Jenna dances like a porcupine.
I think Joe dances like a giraffe.
I knew you were going to say giraffe.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. Super excited for my next two guests. You might have heard of a little show called Dancing with the Stars. Yes, I am a dance fanatic myself. I've always visioned myself on that show. But I'm glad that a fellow Chicagoan has made it to the limelight, the big show in L.A. We got on the phone with us grocery store Joe Immobile and Jenna Johnson from Dancing with the Stars. Guys, thanks so much for coming on. How you doing?
Good. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
It's such a pleasure. I've been watching you guys. Joe, right off the bat, you're so humble and so real and so honest, and I think that's what the people love about you. But even your mom says you have no dancing skills. How does this pair up being on the biggest dancing show on the planet?
It's very difficult. I mean, I've never danced, so I go out there and I'm trying my best. Jenna's an amazing teacher; she knows what she's doing. And I know what's crazy is I know the choreography pretty well. I just, when it comes to show days, it does get, pretty nerve-wracking. And, just dancing in general is something I've never felt comfortable with.
So, Jenna, how do you deal with a guy like Joe who, obviously is just admitting that he just has no rhythm? Which we
I didn't say I didn't have any rhythm. I have a little rhythm. I don't know.
It's not
at full potential yet.
What I mean is that it's hips. It's in the hips, Joe. You know what I mean? So I seen you try to do. He was trying to floss in one of your guys' videos, and Jenna, you just lost it because he was flossing his teeth instead of actually flossing. So
Jenna never lets me use my hips. I got to be in. I got to be in frame all the time. If I could use my hips, it'd be a lot better. I can move my hips actually.
It's interesting because you have a variety of partners, and Joe definitely has had the least amount of performing experience or dance experience, which is totally fine because he has work ethic, which I love.
Yeah.
But I just have to remain a patient teacher and just I want to speak his language on what's going to make sense for him and what's going to work for him. So, it's been a learning process, but I love it. And
Is it amazing? Is it more and for you? Is it better to have this raw clay? Like Joe is, he's just a mound of possibility versus somebody who thinks they know what they're doing, and then you have to unteach them?
Well, I told Joe this. Sometimes it's way more fulfilling, I think, for an audience, too, to see somebody like Joe just pick up all of these steps. He has no expectations,
Yeah.
And so I sometimes prefer it because I think it makes it more magical, and I think the end product becomes more exciting and fulfilling for me too as a coach. And so I love it. I love that he has no experience because anything he does is going to be better than what it started at, So.
This is true. Set the bar low and you aim high. Now, Joe, the one big thing you have going for you, a couple big things. You're a handsome guy and you're tall and you're from Chicago. And you're Italian too, right? Or part Italian?
Yeah, I'm 75% Italian.
Which is a huge benefit.
25% Norwegian.
Wow, interesting. Good combo. So you got all that going for you, and I think Jenna, I think why you might actually win this, although it seems probably an impossibility from a professional standpoint, you got the power of the people, and you got a guy, who's got the grind, the Chicago work ethic, and just because he's Italian, you get an extra few votes for that.
You think we could win,
Joey? I'm an underdog guy. I love believing in what may be impossible. But I do.
I like that. I appreciate that because I feel the same way.
Anything's possible, man. You got on The Bachelor, and you were like, I lasted a day. All right. Well, look what that happened, Joe. I mean, you parlayed that one day into a new career. So think about that.
Does seem that way. That's true.
And Jenna, you got Jenna, the best winning coach. I mean, she's amazing. She's hot. She's got moves. You guys are a good team.
Thank you. I'll take it.
Jenna, is your fiance a little jealous of Joey? Let's be real.
No, they actually have a good bromance. It's weird.
They do.
Val will come to our rehearsal room. And all of a sudden, Joe turns on and can just, do all of these moves that I've been trying to get him to do for 3 hours. And Val just speaks his language. So,
Val's a real cool guy. And he's from Brooklyn, so.
Nice. I'm a New York guy. I totally get that. So, your mom has been probably, one of the biggest supporters of you, although she claims you can't dance either, which moms know, right? How does it feel when you get that call after the show airs and mom's, super excited and your whole family? Because, I get it. I'm a big Italian family guy, too. And how does that feel to do good by mom?
It's always nice to see her happy. And, my grandmother came to the show and she was, crying. She was so happy.
show days are very stressful for me, and I'm, like, really in my head, so it's hard for me to actually enjoy the moment. But
yeah.
I'm just really, I'm glad that they're happy, and, like, my mom, like, loves it. But I have a hard time talking to her now, because every time I talk to her, she talks about Dancing with the Stars for 2 hours. And, you know, I try to get off the phone with her, but she never lets me off the phone, so. But
that's great.
She's like, in her glory. She loves it.
That's awesome. Now, Jenna, you come from the Midwest as well, right? You're from Utah?
I mean, you know, Utah, so I do come from Utah, and about, I would say, 6 other dancers from the show come from Utah as well. Lindsay Arnold, Whitney Carson, Derek, Julianne, we all come from Utah, and there's just, like, a competitive, committed upbringing there, and whatever you do, you're going to do it great, and you're going to be successful at it. And so that's kind of just how I grew up, and I knew I loved dancing. I didn't know how I was going to make it a career, and then this magical show, Dancing with the Stars, called, and I've made this beautiful career getting to do my passion every day, and it's awesome, and I love it.
Do you pinch yourself sometimes to you know, just being grateful for what you guys both...
Every Monday when we go, when they are counting down and it goes live, I get butterflies, and it's crazy. I cannot believe that this is my life.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty amazing, and you both are very humble about, you know, the success that you have. Joe, if you know, they coined you the grocery store guy, although you don't, you know, necessarily own a grocery store anymore. Do you think after this, win or lose, do you think you'd open up a chain of dance studios?
Jenna's laughing. Jenna, you like that one, huh? I don't know. You never know. Maybe I'll take my talents, you know, across the United States, you know, teach some kids how to dance.
I think that would be a smart move, man. Yeah. Jenna can maybe help you a little bit. I mean, she knows a thing or two about dancing, but I think that could be a good idea. I was thinking about how you can kind of prolong this, you know, 15 minutes here. Now, are you guys at all able to drive the creative of your dance, or is it all deemed by producers and directors and all that?
No, we get to create it, and we'll have an idea. Usually we're given the music to us, but everything else we get to create, which I love. That's the best part of the show.
Yeah. And, you know, being challenged with Joe's amazing ability to dance, are you carving out programs that, like, almost like a Ditka, like a coach? You know, are you saying, all right, this is what I got in front of me. How can I win with this? What would be the best dances and the best moves for him? Are you strategizing like that?
Absolutely. You have to. I think you have to really take care of your partner each season and just know what works for them and what doesn't. And I think, like you said earlier, the reason why people love Joe is because he's this genuine, great, normal guy, you know? And so I really want to hit on that and just let his personality shine through and not get him to do anything too crazy, because that wouldn't be good. So, but I think he's really thriving in this dance this week, so.
Awesome. Hey, Joe, you're going to tell me that back in the day at, like, La Passage or the China Club, any of these big Chicago, you weren't out there, like, dancing, like doing a little something something? I mean, every guy, even if they can't dance, has a little something something, right?
I never heard of those places. The China Club.
Oh, it might be before your time. I'm sorry. Over on Fulton and Jefferson.
I just never felt comfortable. So I was, and my friends really weren't either.
Yeah.
Maybe a few of them. So, and if I did dance, I was probably, you know, had a couple drinks.
Sure.
Well,
there's your secret, Jenna. There's your little secret weapon. Put a little tequila in there before the dance starts. Get them loosened up. Boom.
Yeah, we've tried. It doesn't work.
We've tried. That's great. That is so awesome. All right. So the tomorrow is the actual, like, dance, right? And then Tuesday is the elimination. Is that how it works?
No, I believe Monday is the
elimination.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What am I thinking here? So Monday's elimination too. So you might, you can go on tomorrow. You can potentially go home. And if you do, Joe, does that mean you actually do come back to Chicago, or are you going to make LA your new home?
Well, right now everything. I mean, I'm dating Kendall, and it's going really well, and she lives out here. So,
so that's real.
That conversation. Like, yeah, no, it's real.
That's 100% cool.
Real, yeah.
I always wondered, like, if these bachelor relationships were just setups, or they actually, you actually do like that person.
No, it's it's real.
That's cool.
I can't speak for everyone else, but us, we're 100% real.
That's awesome, man. So you found love. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
The show does work, yeah, people. You hear that? You can actually get on a Bachelor and find love. What a concept.
Yeah, and then you could go on another show and learn how to dance.
Exactly. Follow Joe's career path. It works for everybody.
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Joe, before I let you go, two things. Favorite place to eat in Chicago. Now, did you live in the Taylor Street area at one time?
No, but I worked in the produce market, so that was, you know, I was on 2404 South Wolcott, so that was right off of Taylor Street. But I actually have a condo in Westtown.
Oh, nice.
And my favorite place to eat, oh, boy, that's a rough one. But I'm going to go with, let me give you two. I'm going to say Avec.
Yes.
And La Scroll.
Oh, La Scroll. Man, the pasta fagioli at La Scroll is undeniably the best in the world.
Yeah, that place is unbelievable. So I'm going to go with that, and I don't know if you've ever been to Avec, but Avec's really good.
I have. Blackbird, Avec. Yeah, those guys in the restaurant group do a phenomenal job with that restaurant. Good calls,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, all their restaurants I love. So those would be my two spots.
Sweet. Well, guys, listen.
And Giant. Giant in Logan Square, too.
Giant is awesome. I mean, Chicago's such a foodie town. I mean, you can't go wrong with a lot of the restaurants. Jenna, do you make it to Chicago much?
You know, we go on tour every year with Dancing with Stars. So we do go to Chicago. I mostly am not eating that much food there like that, but I would love to try these places. So maybe next time.
Do you got to keep a pretty tight diet for Dancing with the Stars? Stay in shape?
I mean, yeah, when you're doing 71 shows in 3 months on the road, you have to kind of take care of yourself. So
Jenna's in great shape, and she eats donuts, so I don't know how she does it.
Well, good stuff, guys. We love watching you. Best of luck. Like I said, my prediction is Joey and Jenna going all the way. Mark my words right here on this show that these guys are going to win.
I love it. I love it.
Keep dancing, Joe. I have faith in you, man. Just move those hips a little bit. Oil them up a little bit, you know?
All right.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
All right. Have a good one.